I mean, I praise the Lord in tongues. I speak English, I speak Spanish, but I speak the best language of all, the heavenly language, when I intercede and I communicate and I praise the Lord and I adore him all in the Spirit, because I believe that's the heavenly language, and I believe it will be the eternal language that we will speak. And it's going to be a pure and a perfect language. Praise God. You just read there. And because Satan can't understand it, then we have victory. Praise God. Amen? Yes. Yeah. Okay. So if we intercede in tongues and we believe, then we will receive results. And I believe that with all of my heart. I was telling Debbie and Jim last night, we were talking, I was talking about an occasion that happened to me. I was very ill when we lived in Mexico years ago, and I was just lying there, suffering. My throat was filled with blisters, and I had a high fever, which I've had very few fevers in my life ever, temperature. But I was suffering, and Brother Kincaid was away. He was down south, and that was when the boys were younger. They were about 9, 10, 11, something like that. So I was so ill, and I just began to pray, Lord, send someone to pray for me. Send someone to pray for me. And I didn't have a phone, or there was no communication. At that time, I had no car. And so I was just there with the two boys alone. And I began to beg God to send someone to pray for me. I felt like I need, when you feel like you need someone else. Thank God for all the people that prayed for me yesterday. The Lord touched me. I slept fine last night, and I have no idea what that was. It was something I've never had in my life. I mean, even since I've been ill. But anyway, God is good, and thank all of you who prayed over there yesterday and stood with me. I appreciate each one of you with all my heart. But anyhow, I was explaining to them that day, and a knock came on the door, just maybe 10 minutes after I had prayed. And I went to the door, and it was one of the missionaries that we knew there in Monterey, his daughter, a little young daughter, and an older lady was with her. And she said to me, I came to borrow a typewriter, Sister Kincaid. I know you folks have a typewriter, and I need a typewriter. Can you loan me a typewriter? I said, yes, I'll loan you my typewriter. And so I said, well, come in. And she said, this is a lady. She introduced me to the lady. She's come to minister in our churches. And I said, oh, well, fine. So I thought, well, this lady's a minister. So I said, well, come in. I said, the Lord must have sent you. I've just been praying for God to send someone to pray for me. And she said, oh, yes, we'll pray for you. So she sat me down in a chair, there in the house, pulled out, and they got gathered around me, her and the girl, and she began to pray for me, and she began to pray for me in tongues. But, just like when she started praying in tongues, chills just came all over my body. I mean, not good chills. I felt a horrible, horrible spirit. It was just terrible. And my boys were outside the window, out front in the little porch, and there was a window there, and they could hear. I didn't realize that they were out, playing around. And so anyway, she started praying in these tongues, and I thought, oh, dear Lord, please, why am I being critical of this tongues, Lord? But I didn't feel any presence of God or anything. I just felt the opposite. And so I said, dear God, forgive me, am I being critical? What is this? And pretty soon, when she finished and praying for me and everything, she sat down and she goes, well, now that I prayed for you and that the Lord sent me here to pray for you, she says, I have a new revelation to give you. So she opened their Bible and she started out with this new revelation. Well, it was like, you heard way back they came out with this, we're going to live forever, you're never going to die, that. It was, so she started with this thing and started reading me something out of the Bible, which was completely misinterpreted, and she just kept on, and finally I thought, well, this was why I didn't register with these tongues that she was praying over me. And I said to her, I said, well, I'm sorry, sister, I appreciate you praying for me and I appreciate you coming and all, but I can't accept what you're telling me because it's not truth. I said, I'm sorry, I can't accept that. She got up and she goes, well, you're not going to receive anything today, she said, because you're closed to what's right and blah, 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 and this revelation that God's given, and he sent me here to pray for you and to give you this revelation. And it was really hard for me, because I'd prayed God send someone, and it seemed like my prayer was answered. But the devil is so deceitful, And I said, well, I'm sorry, sister, I can't accept something that isn't truth, and that isn't truth. You're just taking scriptures out of the Bible and misquoting. And so she got up and left very in a huff, and the little girl thanked me and said, should we turn the typewriter? And they left. And so my sons came in pretty soon, and they goes, Mama, who was that lady speaking devil tongues? I said, what? They said, Mama, that wasn't Jesus' tongues, that was devil tongues. Both my boys received a baptism of the Holy Spirit when they were very young, Darren when he was 4 and Bruce when he was a little bit older. And then they received refillings when they went to Guatemala and Brother Chima prayed with them. And so my boys were filled with the Holy Spirit and they knew it. And they said, Mama, that was devil tongues, not Jesus' tongues. I said, you're right, boys. And so then I laid there and I started crying. And they, Mama, why are you crying? I said, well, I'm so sick, and I prayed for God to send someone to pray for me, and I thought that was it, and I have no one to pray for me, and Daddy's not here, and none of the ministers have come by, you know, and because most of them didn't have cars either way, and so I just was laying there crying and suffering, and my throat was killing me with all these blisters in it, and this fever. So they said, but Mommy, we're here, and they laid their little hands on my throat, and begin to pray for me and cry and intercede for me. And it was just like when they laid their little hands on my throat, it was like the heat all left, all of the fever and everything. It was just like cool hands had been rubbed over my neck. And I said, oh, dear God, please forgive me. And that's why I asked the little children yesterday to pray for me. I have great faith in little children's prayers because they're so sincere and pure before God. And so the Lord healed me. But I ran into the bathroom, and I opened my mouth, and I looked in the mirror, and of course, it was still filled with white blisters, so I closed my mouth. I said, I'm not coming back and looking again. Jesus, I know you healed me, because all the pain left, the temperature broke. I was fine, and I was. I didn't look in the mirror again for 2 or 3 days, and then I did. I was completely healed, but the prayers of my own children. And so the Lord works in wonderful, wonderful ways to show us himself and how precious and gracious and kind he is. So, but we have to intercede, learn to intercede in tongues, pray in tongues, and believe God. We have to trust him. We have to know who he is. You know, I tell my students, I said, you know, we can't see the Holy Spirit. I said, but the Holy Spirit is as real as this pulpit here. You know, we always feel like we have to have something tangible, but he's that real. And spiritual things are real. But we have to believe and know who God is, and that he is the author and the finisher of our faith, and that he is always there. Even though, but we have to look deep into the Spirit and believe and know beyond a shadow of a doubt. And I praise God for what the Lord has taught me when I've been so alone many, many times. And Brother Kincaid's been gone a lot. He goes away a lot. He has to travel. Even now, since I'm older, someone usually comes and stays with me at night. I have little Mexican daughters that come over and stay with me, so I won't have to be alone at nighttime. But the thing is, we're never alone when we have Jesus. And we have to learn that. When we stop and think of John when he was in the Isle of Patmos, all those times as a prisoner, but he was never alone. And this is why God revealed himself unto him. And he was able to write the book of Revelation with all of what God showed him and everything. And so there's many times, you know, Daniel in the lion's den, alone, but yet never alone. Because when we have him with us, we're never, never alone. And but we can't. Many people can't accept that because they can't reach out in faith in the Spirit and take hold. But they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We have to learn to enter into the Spirit. And this is, I believe this is why when the Lord baptizes us in the Holy Spirit, he gives us the tongues, because this is a communication that can open up. We can worship him in tongues. We can intercede in tongues. We can, and it comes and it just gives a comfort to us. I was talking to a young lady the other day, and she says, I can't find a church around here where the people worship the Lord and they worship in tongues. And she said, that's what sustains me. That's where I get my strength from, Sister Kincaid. Pray that the Lord will show me, you know, somewhere where I can, nearby where I can go and I can feel and have this you know, that which I need that sustains me. And many people don't understand that, but once you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you realize that you need that, and you need the fellowship of those that are of like-minded, that have the same, you know, we need that strength from one another in the Holy Spirit. We need to be strengthened one by another. And so anyhow, I believe that today we're living in days that are so dangerous, and Satan is fighting with all of his might to discourage us, to trample over us, to in any way that he can. He can attack us physically, mentally, spiritually, to defeat us, because he wants us to be defeated, and he wants to win the battle, because he's fighting. He's like a little kid. There, we say in Spanish, giving their last patada, you know, their last kicking of their feet on the floor. You know, they're fighting. He's fighting because he knows his time is short, and so he will do anything that he can to discourage us, to trample over us, and to defeat us. And I believe that's why we need the Holy Spirit more than ever before to sustain us. And to me, that is my sustenance. I intercede in the Holy Spirit. I praise the Lord in the Holy Spirit. I believe him. And that when I had that stroke and God healed me, I mean, I was standing in my kitchen, this arm dropped completely, and I knew in my mind I was having a stroke, and I passed in front of Brother Kincaid, and I said, I thought I was saying, I think I'm having a stroke, but I said, my tongue just began to twist. But the Lord, I cried out in my heart, I cried out unto the Lord, and I began to speak out in tongues, and the Lord healed me while I was walking to my chair. I walked to my chair, and I said in my mind, they always say, if you've had a stroke, because I knew I was having a stroke, you can't lift your hands. I lifted both my hands over my head, sat down in my chair, and held them over my head all that time and praised the Lord in tongues. And at first it was like it was garbled because, you know, my tongue was to it, and pretty soon it just turned into a clear tongue. I was speaking in tongues, then I was speaking in English, praising the Lord, then I was speaking in Spanish, praising the Lord, and because I praise the Lord in Spanish a lot and in English, and so I was praising him, you know, in all the languages, and I mean, and the Lord completely healed me within 4 minutes, and my arm came back. I lifted it up over my head, my arm was fine, and God healed me of a stroke. My younger sister, she's 3 years younger than I am, and she had a stroke recently on her left side, and she's completely paralyzed still, bless her heart. But she hasn't always served God all of her life, but she is now, and I'm believing God. I pray for the Lord to touch her and to strengthen her and to help her. But God is so precious and so good, and the Holy Spirit is so real, folks. But so seek the Lord with all of your heart now in these last days, because I believe it's what's going to sustain us, you know, through the times that we're going to go through coming up. If we live, and I'm sure many of you younger people will be, but I believe that you're going to need, if Jesus tarries, the sustenance of the Holy Spirit to be able to endure what will be coming, you know, on our nation, on our world, and everything, because, you know, God is going to, you know, judge this world, and God's going to allow things to cause people to bow, and we have to bow and repent, you know, as a nation we have to repent. I believe as a nation we have to repent for all of the abortions that we've allowed to be committed in our, all the innocent little babies that they've taken them through the before Moloch, like they did the Israel, he judged them. They offered their children on the altars of Moloch, and we've offered our children on the altars of abortion, and then we've allowed what's coming in now, which is complete perversion. God did not create men and men to mix and women to women to mix and cohabitate. That isn't in the plan of God whatsoever. He said it was abomination in his sight. So as a nation, when we approve of these things, then we're going to have to repent of these things as a nation. You understand? And so we, the church, have to be the light that's in this world today. And how can we be a light without the Holy Spirit? Because on our own, we can't do it. We need the wisdom and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We need to live in the Spirit so that the Holy Spirit can guide us and tell us and show us what we need to do and the steps that we need to take and be led by the Holy Spirit. And this is why Jesus said he had to go away so I can leave it, so you can learn to live by the Spirit and in the Spirit. That's the way I interpret it anyway. And Jesus, because God knows what's best for us, and Jesus knew, and he left them. And of course, then they felt like, well, they had been deserted and everything had been a failure and all, but it wasn't true. It was the beginning. And so then when Paul went in and preached, and everywhere they went and everywhere it was preached, the people received a baptism in Cornelius's house. And here they weren't Jews, you know, they weren't, and they were completely, you know, what we would say pagan, although he paid tithes and he believed, that's why God sent him. He saw a hunger in Cornelius' heart and sent Peter there, and they prayed with him and they received the Holy Spirit and they all spoke in tongues. And then when Paul went, he went in all of the places where they received the Holy Spirit, they all spoke in tongues, and the gifts of the Spirit were taught by Paul. And we should have a church today. If we're Pentecostal, we should be filled with the Holy Spirit. We should have the gifts of Spirit flowing in our churches. We should have the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. I mean, I know we've seen in Pentecost over the years a lot of nonsense, a lot of, you know, carnality with people, you know, but that doesn't excuse the fact, I mean, that doesn't, you know, hinder us from reaching for the true, pure Holy Spirit to work and move in our churches, and under the authority of the ministers, the pastors, they can guide and direct us. So if they're filled with the Holy Spirit too, then they know how to guide and direct us in the right way. And we should accept the authority, because they're the authority, because the Spirit is always subject to, I mean, the prophet of God, and we should be subject to the prophet of God or to the minister of God that's leading us and directing us and teaching us truth. Then we should be willing to listen and to hear to their teaching, so that we administer the gifts of the Spirit in the correct manner that God, you know, the Holy Spirit desires that we do. And so I just think I'm encouraging you, because I feel this is something that you're going to need, folks, and we're all going to need, and we must have to sustain us and to, you know, help us through these days that are confronting us right now. In the United States and throughout the world, because we're going to see things, I believe, that we have never a generation before has ever seen. I believe we're going to witness things like that, especially you that are younger still here. I mean, we older ones may be already stepped over to the other side, but I do believe that, and that's why I encourage you, seek out the Lord with all of your heart and be led by his Holy Spirit. And then he can lead you to minister to other people. And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll have the wisdom and the knowledge and the words for them that the Lord, and even we that are older, you know, still now, God can use us to minister to people and to teach the young. That's what we should do. The elders should teach the young. And Sister Watson, I know you know, and from your experience as pastors and all, and there's still a work for you to do. And, you know, the devil can tell us, oh, well, we're old and there's no use for us and our time's finished and so forth and so on. I still went to Bible school last year and I taught all my classes and finished. I don't know about this year. I've been a little weaker and all, but if the Lord allows me, I'll still go and continue to minister to the young people and to teach them in the Holy Spirit, because so many of them, we have one young man, one of our students that he's a Chamula Indian, and you'll see on the slide some of the churches he's built. He's raised up churches of over 500, a couple of churches, and he's our district supervisor among our Chamula people. Very great and fine young man, graduate, and he calls me all the time. He calls me Mama Dalila, Mother Delilah, and he calls me and he just said, Of all the classes, he said, your class is what has helped me so much since I've been in the ministry on the Holy Spirit, because I taught them to depend upon the Holy Spirit and be led by the Holy Spirit and be guided by the Holy Spirit. And I said, you'll see results. And he has. God has blessed him abundantly and given him many, many souls, and he's raised up several churches, and he's used of God, and he's wise, you know, and the Holy Spirit will keep you humble too, you know. Because pride isn't a part of the Holy Spirit. That isn't pride. And so we will be humble before him and be led by him And we can do exploits. Brother Jeff, I know you found that out in your ministry. God is so gracious and so good to us, and he wants us to be used of him. He desires to flow through us, because who else? This is why he saved us. This is why he's filled us. This is why he is, so that he can flow through us out to others. This is how souls are saved and ministered to, because no one can be saved unless the Holy Spirit draws them. Right? And he said, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. So if we lift up Jesus, if we honor him and we lift him up and we're led by his Holy Spirit, then we will see souls saved. We will see be souls born into the kingdom of heaven. And you that are in the ministry, you know that. The people that are in the ministry, like our pastor, our brother evangelist here, and Brother Jeff and some of you others, you know. But it is the work of the Spirit. It's not us. So many people have depended and they've counted on personality and talent. You know, God doesn't necessarily need your talent or your personality. He needs you to be yielded to his Holy Spirit, because he has the power to do what we can't do and what our talent can't do and what our personality can't do. He can flow through us, but we have to be yielded to him. And this is the thing, 100% yielded to him. And you could be somebody with no talent as far as the world is concerned, as where other people are concerned, and maybe not even much of a personality. But God can use that vessel that's yielded to him. No matter what age you are, no matter how you look, no matter how fat you are, how skinny you are, how beautiful you are, how ugly you are, that doesn't concern God. God, will you just look at the Bible and you read the people that God used and then the Holy Spirit flowed through and still is today. God wants willing, committed, surrendered men and women to him, and that he be put first. He wants to be first in our lives, every one of our lives. You know, I've always said I love Brother Kincaid. We've been married 59 years. I love him with all my heart. He's one of my best friends, but I have a friend closer to me than him, and that's my friend Jesus. In the darkest night, when I've been all alone, when he hasn't even been there to comfort me, to help me, I've had Jesus, and I know you've had that too. On my deathbed, when I've been ill and thought I wasn't going to make it to the next day, he was there, and he spoke to me, and he ministered to me, and that's what the Holy Spirit desires for each one of you today, folks. And that's what I want to do. I just felt like encouraging you, encouraging the church, and be directed by the Holy Spirit. Ask, Holy Spirit, guide me, speak to me, allow me to hear your voice and be obedient to your voice. And sometimes, you know, the Holy Spirit speaks in a still, small voice. And sometimes we're not quiet enough. You know, like me, I'm a big talker, everything. And I said, Lord, just help me to quiet down and listen to your voice when you speak. And sometimes, this is why the Bible tells us not to quench the Holy Spirit. And when we quench the Holy Spirit, sometimes when we don't listen to his voice, because we just think, oh, that was just something that came to me. No, but if the Holy Spirit comes and impresses you to say something to someone or to go or to do, be obedient to that still small voice. And you'll see the results, and you'll feel so encouraged and so uplifted by maybe just a small word that you said to someone. Have you ever felt like that? You know, go. I need to go to someone, and I need the Lord to impress someone. And I think, well, I don't think they're sick. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And then you go and you just say a small word, whatever the Lord has given you to say to them. Just give them a scripture. Say, I want to pray with you. I feel like you need encouragement, or I feel like the Lord's just laid you on my heart. And you go to them, and then they'll pour their soul out to you, and you'll find out. And because you've been willing to yield to that still small voice and go and speak. And we can all do that, every one of us. It's not none of us, you know, can say, well, I'm not a preacher, I don't have the right words, or I don't have. No, you don't need to have the right words that you think are right. You need to have what the Holy Spirit has placed in your heart to give to that person. And every one of us are capable of doing that, right? So we just have to be honest with ourselves, honest with God, and open to the flow of the Holy Spirit in our lives to minister to others. So this is just what I felt like speaking to you today, and the Lord laid it on my heart. And so, but God has done, And many times, the Lord puts us through things that we don't understand. Like little Elias, the one I told you, the young man that's raised up all the churches among the Chumulas. But through all of this and how God has blessed him, he's gone through some very hard trials. He was married young, and they had a little girl. And when she was about four months old, she passed away. That was so difficult for them. And then they had another baby, a little boy, and he's 9 years old today. He lived, and he's fine. And then not too long ago, about 4 years ago, she was expecting another baby, and he called me, and he said, Mama Dalila, pray, because you know my wife is in the hospital right now delivering a baby. And so then he called back crying, and the little baby was born, but it had a lot of problems, and they didn't know if it would live. And he said, you pray. And I prayed. I said, well, Elias, all we can do, son, is pray God's will. The Lord knows. And all we prayed, the little boy died. So he buried another child. He went through many, and then one time he was falsely accused there in the village. He was walking at night, and I forget what they accused. It was something crazy, you know, but they accused him. And, of course, being he's a minister, and it's devoutly Roman Catholic, and there's a lot of a prejudice in that area and everything. Anyway, they caught him and accused him, and then people heard about it. So he suffered that too, but he went through that, came through. And so many times we go through trials. We go through things that we don't understand, but it was a type of purifying and humbling him. And so as a result, he's a very wise leader. He has patience and endurance, and sometimes it has to be proved in ways that we don't like and we don't understand. But I have found that many people that God uses in a great way have had to go through these times of trials that they don't understand. You know, and they well, why would God? And other people, they become angry with God and turn on God, and they're the losers, because we have to realize that God, pray, Lord, not my will, like Jesus did. He prayed in the garden. I always say that I think that Jesus won the battle in the garden. He finished it on the cross, but he won it in the garden because he prayed, and that's why he sweated as if it were drops of blood. And then the disciples even abandoned him and went over there and went to sleep. And he's there praying alone, interceding. And he said, Father, if it be possible, he was begging, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Because he was in a human body, yet he was God, but he prayed that way. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And this is what we have to come to in our life. No matter what, Lord, I want your will. I don't want my own will. I've known people that have gone out, you know, people that state, is it time for me to finish? Okay. I love all you folks with all of my heart. I pray that this has been something that has touched your life, and you will seek to enter into the Holy Spirit in a greater measure than ever before, and be led by the Holy Spirit, be filled and learn to intercede in the Holy Spirit. That's my prayer for you. I love all of you with all my heart. Thank you, Pastor, for this time. God bless you, and until we meet again.
I'm sorry. Thank you for such rich words that come from many years of ministry and godly experiences. And may your test turn into a testimony. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. You're welcome to fellowship. And we'll begin worship in 15 minutes. Until then, enjoy one another, please.